Even before the Declaration of Independence was signed, the founders established the post office as the circulatory system of America's body politic. Unlike European postal systems, America's post was based on a radical goal: to create an informed electorate by delivering news about public affairs to every citizen. The new book by Winifred Gallagher, How the Post Office Created America, recounts how the U.S. Post was instrumental in developing the national transportation grid, from stagecoach lines to airlines. It organized a wild rural landscape with roads, villages, towns, and yes, addresses. The Postal Service was the lifeline that supported the Great Migration and expansion west. It also enabled America to shift from an agrarian to an industrial economy, and was integral to the development of the publishing industry, consumer culture, and the political party system. Again, the name of the new book is How the Post Office Created America. It is by Winifred Gallagher, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Very nice to have you on the program. What led you to this subject?
Actually, it was a personal experience. I live in New York City a lot of the year, although I listen to WAMC also in upstate New York.
We thank you.
And I, my husband and I fell in love with the northwest corner of Wyoming, and we bought a small house there about 10 years ago. And we several times drove from the East Coast out to Wyoming, and I also did that by myself a few times. And I began to, as most people do who have that that cross-country experience, to really realize on a gut level what an enormous country it is, how varied it is both in terrain and in culture, and how much of it is still very, very rural. And I started wondering, I love American history anyway, I started wondering, gee, what was it that stitched together the East Coast and the West Coast and all that great territory in between? And I finally realized that it was our information and communication system, our postal system, that really unified and pulled the whole thing together.
How much of this, because obviously we, and you write about this in the book, but we started all this from scratch. So
yeah.
How much did we know, do you think, what we were getting ourselves into?
Well, that's a great question. In 1792, the founders, as you mentioned in your lead, decided that if a government by, for, and of the people were going to function, it had to have an informed electorate. The people had to know what was going on in Washington, or, well, not even Washington at that point, what the government was up to, what was going on around the world. They had to know about current events. So they created this information system that really poised us to be the global information and communications superpower. By the time de Tocqueville came here in 1831, he was absolutely flabbergasted by the fact that even in the Michigan outback, pioneers would come out of their cabins and were able to speak not only about current events in America, but what was going on in Europe. This was at this time, our country was still very much wet behind the ears. And great nations like France, we had five times more post offices than France and twice as many as Great Britain, which is really astounding. It was an astounding decision that the founders made. And they were able to pay for it. They were able to ensure that everybody could get a cheap newspaper because they charged a lot of money for letter mail, which also was the case in Europe. At that point, into the middle of the 19th century, most Americans only got about one, not even one letter a year. Letters were very expensive. They were mostly sent by businessmen, lawyers, officials who had the franking privilege, which meant they had free access to the mails. So it was really kind of a Robin Hood system where the wealthy businessmen paid for free newspapers for everybody.
So, and it's a fascinating story that you tell about the post office early role in America's government and politics. As we settled and we started to move west from the Atlantic to the Pacific, You write in the book about how the post office really created this country in physical terms, as far as our geography, as far as our roots, R-O-U-T-E-S, as well as O-O-T-S, I guess. And it was this infrastructure that turned this into an actual place, because so many of the centers, of the villages, of the towns, of the cities, were based on the post offices. How did that come about?
That's right. The founders' decision to have an informed electorate meant that what was still largely a wilderness for a very long time was turned into a social landscape as well as a physical landscape, as you say, of villages centered on post offices and post roads that connected those villages to each other so that the mail could circulate. It also imposed the federal footprint on vast areas of often contested land. A lot of the West was still claimed by Britain and Spain and Russia. I mean, there were a lot of imperial powers jousting for control of that territory. France during Jefferson's administration. So planting a post office was a good way to say, this is U.S. territory. And as you point out, too, it was very important in subsidizing the nation's transportation grid. We had very, very limited transportation. It was in the Revolutionary period. It was still a man on a horse. That's how people got around. Most of the country didn't have roads that were good enough even for a wheeled wagon. So the subsidization of people who would carry the mail allowed the transportation system to grow. The first big example of that was the stagecoach industry. Stagecoaches were very important in the East and the West for much longer than we think, and the post subsidized the stagecoach proprietors to carry the mail, and of course the same coaches also carried passengers, so that the post office was really responsible for propping up this industry that allowed Americans not only to have mail but to travel from place to place. And they did. They got around a lot more than we think, even though it was very difficult at first.
And of course the post office had a huge role and continues to have a huge role in our economy. And we shouldn't overlook that.
It's a linchpin of our economy, American business. It itself is a major business. It's a $68.5 billion a year industry that still delivers 40% of the entire world's mail. The post office is, as to paraphrase Mark Twain, its death has been greatly exaggerated. It's very much with us. It's very much in need of reform so that it's able to support itself. It needs a new business model. It needs a lot of fixing up so it's suitable for the 21st century. And Congress has been dragging its heels on bringing about these reforms for a very long time. Arguably, Congress is the post office's worst enemy.
So let's talk a little bit about that and some of the things that are the options for the post office. Of course, the one that comes up most frequently is privatization. How do you feel about that?
I think it will never happen. It's not widely popular. It makes for very good, feisty letters to the editor and that kind of thing. Most people like the post office. They don't see why they should have to choose between digital mail and paper mail. It also ignores the way our national delivery system actually works. Neither FedEx nor UPS could deliver the volume of America's mail without risking bankruptcy. And in fact, the three entities, the post office and its two so-called competitors, they're actually much closer to being frenemies, or the word that's often used is not competitors, but co-opeditors. They cooperate with each other to get us our mail and services. For example, the USPS delivers the so-called last mile for FedEx and UPS, especially in rural areas. They're the they go to every address in America almost every day of the week, which neither of the other two private carriers do. So they often do that last stage of delivery for the private carriers. And FedEx flies the U.S. mail by day, and FedEx flies its own mail by night. So there's a lot of cooperation. I don't think it's going to be privatized. I don't think either of the other companies could pull it off. So the second option at the other end of the spectrum would be to retrofit the Postal Service for the digital age. The Post Office made a terrible mistake back in the 1980s. It should have gone digital. There were people both in Congress and in postal management who saw the future. They said the obvious extension of paper mail, the emails, the obvious extension of paper mail. They wanted to give us all electronic addresses the same way they gave us our physical addresses and offer all kinds of other services because, very important, the post office is secure and private. It's very strong in the exact dimensions that the internet is weak. Unfortunately, the top managers and Congress were afraid to. They were too timid to take the step, and they stuck with paper mail, which was a mistake. Could they go back and try to retrofit it for the digital age? They could, but that would cost a lot of money. It would be a very politically hard sell in a center right country right now, where trying to get the government to spend for anything is very difficult. So the third option, I think, is the likeliest, that the system will kind of age gracefully. It will be preserved as the national hard copy delivery system. And the bright light here, of course, is parcels. Parcel delivery rose by 50% just between 2010 and 2015. The revenue from parcel delivery has actually pretty much canceled out the loss to first-class mail from email. So that's the bright light there. So I think what we'll end up with is a more modest post office, but will still continue to be a linchpin of our economy and also our politics. Here's something that I don't think a lot of us on the East Coast are aware of. In the 2014 elections, 20% of votes were cast by mail. The big Western states are really pushing this. It's much cheaper to have voting by mail than the standard election procedures. Mm-hmm. It's much more convenient for customers, and I think this is going to increase. So when you have something as important as, especially in a country that's so evenly politically divided, something as important as our ballots, we really want that to be handled in a safe, secure manner, which is a big argument for the Postal Service.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and it's beautifully told. The name of the book is How the Post Office Created America. It is published by Penguin Press. Winifred Gallagher, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program, and I wish you all the luck in the world with the new book.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to be with you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, How the Post Office Created America. It is published by Penguin Press by Winifred Gallagher. The Roundtable will continue. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.